Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hour two on the scorecard here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you. And we are pleased to jump out now to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. There we find the founder of Zero Friction Golf, John Iacono, joining us. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing great, John. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, John. We really we do appreciate it. You know, you are one of the Chicago-based golf companies. You don't make equipment. You don't make drivers and putters and all that, but you make all kinds of stuff: gloves, balls, tees, rangefinders, everything related to golf. But I remember, John. I remember when your first product came out years ago. It was a performance golf tee. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, just as sort of a skeptic and an old newspaper guy and kind of, you know, what are you talking about? How does this work? And how could it be any different than a regular old wooden tee? And you invented that. And how did you do that? Why did you do that?
So Barry, we were a wood golf tee company originally. That's how we started. And wood golf tees are, of course, very commodity driven and are non-performance. And, you know, being an average golfer myself, I think what an average golfer likes the most is a pooched up fly or lie out of the rough or wherever they could find one. And I thought to myself, you know, in sports, everything is about performance and equipment and such. Why can't there be a performance tee? So what we did was created the zero friction three prong tee in around 2005, 2006. And basically what we did is a kind of a tripod design, and we took 66% of the normal tee surface coverage away. So you had a lot more ball to face contact at the time of impact. And, you know, we had them tested out at Golf Labs in Carlsbad, California. And, you know, they're 50% straighter. The right or left of a wood tee is 14 feet of center line, and the zero friction tee is 7 feet. So it's pretty substantial. And then the distance, the average ball flight from a wood tee was 250 yards, and the zero friction tee was 255 yards. And then they quickly caught on, especially with the tour players. You know, we've had well over 70 wins on the PGA Tour. We've made the tees for the U.S. Open. We made them for the Open Championship at Turnberry in 2009. We were the official product when Watson almost won. I happened to be there. It was just amazing experience. So we've done a lot with it.
And it is true. You do see your tees in the locker rooms at PGA Tour events. It's you know, you walk through the locker room and you go, oh, there's the tees, and the guys can grab them and play them. So it is quite amazing, but good for you. And I know just more proof that I know nothing, and that's great.
So, John, I wanted to ask too, because I'm always curious as to the backstories, right? So obviously you were in the golf business, you had a company, you were already making this, but Are you one of those types? Is your brain always working in terms of, hey, why don't we try this? Why can't we do this? I mean, certain people, you're almost driven by the new stuff. Like, what can I do differently? Is that how this came about? Are you one of those guys who likes to tinker with everything?
Yeah, I am, Mike. I'm not an engineer or anything like that. I just try to go back to the old school of basic common sense and try to look at products and look at, you know, whatever the industry is. And for me, of course, it's golf, and say, you know, what can we do to improve what may already be in existence out there? Or if it's not in existence, what can we make that would be different? You know, we're not interested in trying to chase any of the big majors, you know, the folks that make clubs and you know, drivers and irons and putters and all that. There's plenty of those guys doing that, and they do a great job of it. But in the category where we're in with gloves, balls, what we do in balls has been really, really good. Tees, especially our new laser, which has a pistol grip style to it, and a new series of some other products that are coming out within the next, probably in the next 120 days that we're really excited about.
Well, before we get into those, John, what about the glove? I mean, people buy golf gloves, and typically, you know, you just buy your Titleist glove, you put it on, and it lasts you for however long it lasts, and then you buy a new one. It's a disposable or whatever they call it in the industry. And then you've got one, and then you have to buy a certain size, you know, a cadet or this or whatever. But yours is a good glove, and it's one size fits all, and it does. It's awesome.
Now, thank you, Barry. Thanks very much. You know, I'll tell you a quick story on how that all happened. So with our golf tees, we make them in about a dozen different colors, and if you focus on one length, a 2 3/4, which is standard, you could put 12 different colors on a single peg in a retail store. And I happened to be at PGA Superstores. This was in 2013, and I wanted to buy a black golf glove. And there was a sea of white. I mean, that's just two or three aisles of white golf gloves. And I'm a medium cadet, and they never really fit me right, the different brands. And I said, you know, somebody should really come out with a one-size glove. They should use compression so that it's taut to the hand and only expands when needed. And I said, boy, if somebody did that, they could create a dozen colors, put them on a single peg, just like we do with tees. And I was looking then, a men's glove actually comes in 11 sizes, one color, 11 sizes. Well, you know, that's if you wanted six colors, that would be 66 SKUs on the shelf. No one can support that, none of the retailers. And for us to do six colors would be six SKUs. So it's an 11-to-1 ratio, right? So then I sat there, and I was getting ready to go to my golf game, and I was buying my white glove. And I said, somebody should really do that. And I actually canceled my golf game that day, and I went back to work and started working on the project. And it took me about a year to get it all figured out, get it done the right way. We've got global patents on the one size, numerous patents on it. It's got a lot of intellectual property, and it's just been an amazing product. And we've expanded the platform in all sorts of categories in the one size. So it's been great.
It's just fantastic. Just great. Really good.
And go ahead, John.
I was going to say, we have one size gloves now, not in just synthetic and Cabretta, but we have a copper flex glove. We have a glove, UltraTech, that actually has silicone in pressure points on the palm and finger pads, just the same type of silicone that football receivers have on their gloves. We have another glove called UltraFeel that's padded to take a lot of the reverb out of the shaft. We have an all-weather glove called Storm. It's a combination rain and cold glove. So, you know, all these really great products.
Yeah, no, and John, before I even knew, you know, but I knew the name Zero Friction, but before I even put two and two together and realized that the matte balls were yours, I knew of the balls, and the colors are very distinctive, and certainly the gear is as well. But when you're designing golf balls, how does that work for you? What was your process there?
You know, for us, the biggest thing was we weren't interested in trying to compete at the upper end in a urethane three-piece, four-piece type ball like Titleist and some of the other guys. You know, that takes a lot of big brand money to take a product like that and grab market share. And they're the elephants in the room, quite frankly, in that category. But what we wanted to build was a product that was playable for 98% of the golfers. And then we embarked on creating a 80 compression two-piece Serlin ball, distance ball. And we do that in our matte colors, and we also do it in a shiny white ball. But the thing we do that's a little different, Serlin, which is the cover, on a scale of 1 to 10, comes in, 10 different hardnesses, 1 being the softest, 10 being the hardest, which is that real cheap ball that you'll find out there. And so we pay a bit extra, and we put a soft Serlin, a 1, if you will, on the cover. And the playability is just sensational. I always like to refer people to Amazon for the fact that we sell an awful lot of golf balls on Amazon, and we have all 5-star ratings. And you don't get 5-star ratings if the product isn't good. So that's kind of how we do it. And we'd rather go, sell 98% of the market than the upper echelon that plays the real premium ball.
It's really great, John. I love hearing the business story and the thought process behind your innovation is really good. So do you have any other innovations and products coming out anytime soon, John? And you can do some breaking news here on the Score.
Okay, Barry, we're going to give it to you and Mike first. How's that?
All right,
now?
Good. I hope the AP is listening. Let's get it on,
Well, you can't buy them just yet because they're not physically in the market. They're actually in production and be out in about 120 days. But the first is something that's really needed in the industry. And it's a golf tee. It's our performance golf tee, our three-prong tee. We made a little bit of a switch to it. We're making it in a 3-inch length. And that's because a 2 3/4 tee is a little too short for most folks today, and a 3 1/4 too long. So we internally we laugh and we say now we've created the one size length tee, and it's 3-inch. It's kind of perfect for everybody, and we're making it in 2 cup styles. One is our 3-prong, and the other is a standard cup design. And we've got these cool little airfoils that go through the tee. It looks kind of interesting, but the key to the product is the tip. We've patented a little pitchfork on the tip, so you can now properly repair the green instead of just jamming your tee into the green. It has a pitchfork, which will be a lot more forgiving on the turf. And we think that this is really going to be substantial in the industry. The Golf Course Superintendents Association is just thrilled that we've come out with this, and they're going to be supporting us a great deal with it, with all the superintendents, because now every golfer with a tee in their pocket could have a proper divot repair tool at the same time. So we're pretty excited about that. And I'm actually working closely right now with Kemper Sports Management up in Northbrook. They manage about 130 courses around the country, and they're really intrigued with the product. So we'll see what happens there. And then in the world of golf bags and such, we have a really nice line of golf bags that we've developed and doing quite well with them. Big supporter here locally for us is PGA Superstores. We have a stand bag, carry stand bag that we include with it, a 40-inch waffle towel and a glove. And those are actually in the store right now. It's $169 at Superstores. And it's just a great value and a great product. But where we've really gone is into the mobile cart business. And by that, we've actually taken and patented worldwide a golf bag, a carry stand bag, and we put 11-inch wheels can snap onto the bottom of the bag in about 2 seconds. And there's an ergonomic handle built into the bag as well, to the back of the bag. So basically, if you're going to go play golf and you decide I want to walk today and I want to push, I want a push cart, well, you don't need to buy a push cart. Your bag in 2 seconds turns into a push cart. And if you say, well, you know what, I just want to carry my bag today, you just leave the wheels off. The handle does not impede you the way we've designed it into the bag, and you could just carry your bag that day, or you could put it on the back of a motor cart. So it's kind of a very versatile 3-in-1 bag. We think it's going to be substantial. because of how much people like to walk, you know, today when they play golf. And in our platform, we've got two other versions. The second version coming out will have power wheels, so it'll have a power assist. If you're playing a real hilly golf course, you know, you just push a button and the wheels will engage and go with you. And then the third version will be a bag that actually has a kind of a cantilever where comes out of the back of the bag, and there's a third wheel system, and the bag will walk alongside of you electronically. It's called Stride. And you simply set the gauge to your gait of walk, and it will walk along with you at that rate. So pretty exciting stuff. You know, nothing like this out there at all in the industry. But what I love about it is these folding and collapsible carts take up so much room in your trunk, and then you have to put your clubs in there. This is no different. This is only your bag. In all three of these products, it's just your bag. We give you a nylon drawstring bag to put the wheels in to keep your car clean, and away you go. So we call it Wheel Pro, and we'll be actually the real press will be coming out on it in about 30 to 45 days, and then the bags will be here by the 1st of December. So it's pretty
exciting.
That
is a great idea, because you're right. People do like to walk, and yet you don't walk every time you play, right? Some people do. But, you know, sometimes you go to you're in an outing or you're with a business thing, and you have to go in a golf cart, you know, regular golf motorized cart. And so you say, well, wow, I've got that big push cart in my bag, in my trunk. It's like it takes up half the trunk. Even if you have an SUV, it takes up a lot of room. So I think this is another ingenious idea, which is so cool. And I think people will be excited to see how it works. You know, sometimes you have to see some of this stuff in action in order for it to, you know, you're not an early adopter. It takes me about 5 years to see it, and then I say, oh, okay, I have a good idea. I think I'll buy one of these zero friction Wheel Pro strides or Wheel Pro carts.
Yeah. It's some pretty fun stuff. I really enjoy creating these various products and different products. It's always a challenge for me in my own head to come out with something that's not a tchotchke, if you will. And we don't ever want to bring anything to market. Our mantra in the office is we will only bring something to market that has some technological advancement and improvement for the golfer and for the game. And it has to be priced affordably, where 98% of consumers can afford our products. And third, it has to be a product we ourselves as consumers would find merit in buying. If those things don't qualify the product, we're not going to put our name on it.
That's so great. Well, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say it is very cool. And I know, John, you mentioned you sell a lot of golf balls on Amazon, but your website is zerofriction.com. All the products are there. I'm looking at it right now as we speak and debating some different golf balls as you're talking about the new Wheel Pro. So we definitely appreciate your time. And listen, it's always fascinating. I know Barry is in the same boat. I love hearing about how the innovators behind some of the equipment and some of the new things in the game of golf, how you come up with it, your backstories, your histories, and certainly great products. And we really appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you, Mike. And thank you, Barry, for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
All right, that's John Icano, founder of Zero Friction Golf, zerofriction.com, as I was just saying. And yeah, Barry, that's it's one of those random things where before I knew exactly what it was, I knew their golf balls before I knew that it was their golf balls, right? I had played with them. I had seen them. They stand out, right? It is certainly cool to hear the backstory and, innovative, how people come up with some of these innovations for some of the equipment that, as you mentioned, you know, the wheel carts, right? And he was just talking about his new Wheel Pro series that's coming in later this year. You know, we've all seen the push carts, but, you know, to innovate from that and to really do something is very cool.
Right. And just the imagination that it takes to be an entrepreneur and to I mean, how many times have you been in a, or people, our listeners, been in a golf store, whether it's PGA Superstore or wherever, and looked at all those white gloves in all those different sizes and kind of just looked around and, gee, am I what size am I? You know, or is the size of the Titleist glove different than the size of the Callaway glove or the other types of gloves? And for him to invent a glove, I mean, I've worn his glove. I've gotten a Super Tube. I think at the Chicago Golf Show they were giving away Super Tubes, and I got one. And you know, you wear that glove, and it's really a good glove. You're not gonna say, oh, this is just not a good glove. It's a great glove. And the balls, I actually used the balls last fall, and the yellowish green balls, and they, you know, they're easy to find, you know, especially in the fall when the colors change, and maybe you don't see the ball quite as well. It buries in the rough. I seldom hit it in the rough, as you know.
Of course,
but on the odd event that I do, it was easier to find the ball in those cases. But it's just great, and it just the mind of the entrepreneur. Just like we had David Glad on a couple of weeks ago from Tour Edge, same type of thing. Guys with great imaginations, and they're kind of fearless in the way they go about their business. It's a good way to be.
Absolutely. And they are right here in the Chicago area, which is, I don't want to say a hotbed, but certainly plenty of golf-based businesses right here in the Chicagoland area, which is always great to see. We are late for a break. When we come back, we will dive back into the U.S. Open and talk about what's going on out there at Torrey Pines. Last segment of the show will be Dave Shedlosky, golf reporter. We'll talk U.S. Open with him. We have some texts and tweets to reply to as well, Barry. We'll do all that when we come back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, right here with you on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. U.S. Open weekend, Barry, is here, and our leaderboard is looking pretty interesting.
Our leaderboard is almost as interesting as the Iron Butterfly from San Diego. And boy, that is the day. That is back in the day.
That is something right there. I can't even say it. Inagata Davida.
And it was a. I think it goes like it's like about a 13-minute song. So
there you go.
It's 17 minutes actually.
Oh, 17 minutes. I
don't sell it short.
But you know, Adam, from the perspective of a radio producer, a great record to put on when you need a break.
There you go.
If you're a DJ, if you're a rock and roll DJ, the Dick Biondi of your era. Although Dick Biondi would be AM, so you'd have to get an XRT. Playing the long form FM style of radio that came on in the 60s. When FM presented itself.
That would definitely be one of the, hey, I'm on in the middle of the night and there's no one else in the radio station and I really need to, take a quick time out here. Let's get Iron Butterfly on.
Go out in the back and have a smoke.
you could do that. You could do certainly. That's good stuff there as we feature San Diego music And I wanted to mention, actually, too, Barry, before we get out into the open, some Twitter replies coming at us through or after our first segment when we talked to Nick Papadakis with the Western Junior Championship. I wanted to mention this because, yeah, we want to mention our local guys. Two-time back-to-back defending state champion NIU commit Ben Sluzas from Lockport will be playing in the Western Junior Amateur this weekend. That from the Porter's Boys Golf Twitter handle. We appreciate you, Lockport Twitter, supporting your own. So
Ben's
yeah,
a great player. He won the Illinois State Junior last year out at McRae. I remember when he got the trophy.
Yep. And I wanted to throw this one by you, this from a Twitter follower as well. I am at Espo670 on Twitter. Barry is at Barry Cronin. If you want to tweet at us, please do so. This listener, Jay Moore, says he has difficulty finding and seeing the hole in the ball on his HD TV. And Barry, do you see that as well? I have not. I can't say that I have noticed it, but I know of which you speak. I know a hockey puck, for instance, is often difficult to pick out on the TV.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's something about the and I noticed that. It's interesting that you mentioned that. I do agree with that. And I think this week is different than other weeks. And I'm not sure why, whether it's the marine layer, as we say, or as we like to say in Chicago, fog. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that is, but I do agree with that. And it is nice, though, that they have the technology to show. Yesterday they showed Mickelson's putt on, I think it was an eagle putt on, I think it was 18, that could be mistaken, 63-foot putt, and they showed, they show how the putt goes and, you know, how it's going to break, et cetera, and how uphill it was. Of course, Mickelson, you know, almost made it.
naturally.
He leaves it 6 inches away and, you know, taps in for birdie. So nice going. But maybe they need to do that, show that a little bit more, at least so you would have some idea of where the ball's going. But I'm not sure they're even aware of it. But it is a good, really good observation. As we have great listeners, so they only have great observations, unless they criticize us. In which case, we block them from our Twitter or whatever.
That never happens, Barry, because there's certainly, you know, we have nothing but supportive listeners here on the scorecard, and we do appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to talk a lot more about the U.S. Open. We're going to do that with our next guest. His name is Dave Shedlosky. He's a veteran golf reporter, Golf Digest, Golf Week, etc. He will join us to talk about the U.S. Open, and we'll talk about that leaderboard. It's very interesting, and if you are of the betting kind and you had a card that said Russell Henley or Richard Bland before this weekend, I'm betting that you're lying to me, because I'm betting that did not happen. But there's our co-leaders, 500 par, Russell Henley, Richard Bland. But the leaderboard is very interesting after that. We'll talk about the U.S. Open leaderboard, everything going on out of Torrey Pines with Dave Shedlosky when we return on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, here on 670 The Score. Back on 670 The Score, Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, and if we're in San Diego, well, we're playing a little game here, Barry, because we're going to let Eddie Vedder be from San Diego, even though he's from the Chicago area. But he lived in San Diego, so we're gonna put Pearl Jam into our San Diego music, and why not? Because we like them.
Exactly. Maybe the Ricketts are listening. Or
we now jump on out to the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dave Shedlosky joins us, veteran golf reporter. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Dave. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. What a strange leaderboard, huh, Dave, for the good old U.S. Open out of Torrey Pines. It's strange. What do you think?
Well, it certainly, at the top, presents opportunities for two guys who you know, one has played in only four major championships and just won his first European Tour title in 20-something years. The other guy, he's played in some majors, never has had a top 10 in any of them, and has never even been in the top 10 after 36 holes except one other time in the U.S. Open. So, you know, these guys are obviously capable. It's just they don't have a lot of experience, and that is Russell Henley and Richard Bland. And it's going to be fascinating to see if they hold up today, because we know how the U.S. Open can kind of ratchet up the screws.
Right. They may realize they're leading the U.S. Open and go, oh my God, I'm leading the U.S. Open. This is not where I'm supposed to be in my life. And then you've got, of course, Louis, who's always got he's always on the leaderboard in these majors. And then his putter sort of betrays him. And then you got Matthew Wolf, who took a couple of months off. And God bless him, a nice young man. And he apparently had battled some, I don't know if it's depression or anxiety, but went back to Stillwater, Oklahoma, where he went to college just to kind of be near his friends because he was kind of isolated with the COVID situation, traveling. And then you got Bubba Watson at the U.S. Open. What the heck is going on? It's cats and dogs almost. How does that work?
91 over par in his last 10 U.S. Opens coming into this week, which is worse than the decade stretch of anybody who's played in them. So yeah, Bubba is especially a strange case, but he likes Torrey Pines, and maybe this is a golf course that he can finally win a U.S. Open on. We'll see.
Well, that would be a really good story. That would be a fun story.
It would.
Yeah, and Dave, we haven't mentioned John Rahm, and I know he's been playing great golf, and he's lurking. Let's call him lurking there at 3-under, just two shots off, but 69-70 and you know, steady as he goes.
Well, that's the story that I think everybody would kind of want to see if we're really – you know, getting down to it, Matthew Wolf would be a wonderful story with all the mental health issues. Bubba Watson, same kind of storyline. He's battled mental health issues. And I mean, look, those are, to deal with golf when you've got some things going on in your head that maybe aren't the best, that's great. But everybody, I think, understands John Rahm played some of the best golf of the year by anybody at the Memorial Tournament here in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, he was just ripping apart Muirfield Village Golf Club. He was 18-under, tied the 54-hole scoring records held by Scott Hoke, of all people, from way back in the 90s. And a six-shot lead, which also tied the 54-hole record held by Tiger Woods, who seems more legitimate. But, then he's gone. COVID positive test, and them's the rules. So, boy, that just ended up making the Memorial Tournament a very strange finish, won by Patrick Cantlay, but also made John Rahm a very, very sympathetic figure. Yeah, you know, you can say anything you want about maybe he should have got it vaccinated, but hey, look, that's everybody's own personal choice. He understands that it cost him. It would be cool if he won this week.
Yeah, I think he's definitely the sentimental choice this year, and he's certainly right there in the hunt at 3-under par. It seems to me, I mean, if I'm just sitting there in the press room, I'm going, you know, Richard Bland and Russell Henley are coming back to the field, and Louis's going to be Louis, and Bubba and Matthew Wolf haven't really shown any form. And so what you're saying is Rahm could go out, shoot a great round today, and, you know, who else is another pre-tournament favor one shot back is Xander Schauffele, and then you have Scottie Scheffler, who's one stroke behind them. And then at even par, you have all the big boys, all the guys,
yeah.
Phil and Colin and Bryson, JT, Brooksy. And then one stroke behind them is Rory. So you got the whole shooting match there. And wouldn't it be cool if Brooks and Bryson were at the top of the leaderboard on Sunday going mano a mano? You could have a wrestling match on the putting green before they got to the first tee, Dave.
Yeah, the only thing better would be if it rained, it'd be a mud wrestling match. So I guess
in the marine layer.
Yeah, in the marine layer. But we're not going to get rain, and it's going to get harder. The guys, I mean, I think the guy that's kind of scary is Bryson. Made a swing change overnight. He says it came to him in his sleep. And look, the guy probably dreams about golf. But I mean, he made a swing change, a slight adjustment in his wrist cock on the way down, in his downswing, and shot 69. And I'd be kind of worried about that guy. I mean, you know, he didn't lead after 36 at Wingfoot either, or 54, and he won by six. So that's a guy that I think you'd really have to worry about if you're not worried about a John Rahm.
Well, and Dave, Barry mentioned Phil Mickelson, who after an opening round 75 came back with a 69 yesterday, and Lord knows the entire area, probably the entire country is rooting for Phil to kind of close out his majors here with a win in the U.S. Open. He is, what, seven shots back? Is that realistic, do you think?
I'm writing a story this morning about the fact that they eliminated the 10-shot rule, but they had the 10-shot rule at the U.S. Open because they felt like after 36, anybody within 10 probably still had a chance. So definitely Phil, seven back is, I mean, look, the whole field is only nine back. I mean, total.
Right.
So, I mean, really, if anybody caught fire, they would definitely have a realistic chance, but they're going to obviously have to have a good round today. Will Phil have a good round today? I don't know. Phil probably turned a 74 into 69 yesterday. I mean, nobody has a short game like that guy. And
right.
He saved so many pars coming in. It was just amazing. And I just don't think you can keep doing that. I mean, not even Phil. Would it be great? Of course. Look, you know, everybody wants to see him win a U.S. Open after six runner-up finishes. And definitely seven shots isn't going to really bother him. What's going to bother him is he's missing fairways and greens. And I mean, he's scrambling his arse off. And you just can't – you got to wonder if at 51 that, you know, that he can continue doing that.
I just wonder, it would be interesting to see, Torrey Pines is not a quote-unquote great golf course. It's a great golf course because it's located in the Pacific time zone and can be on prime time, put the U.S. Open on in prime time. That's number one why it's a great golf course, and of course it's also located on the Pacific Ocean. But if the USGA sets it up so that on Saturday these guys can get back into contention and you could get some low rounds potentially from that even par group, it could really make for an exciting Sunday. Do you think the USGA will make it more of a fun and accessible type of a round today, Dave?
You know, it's a great question, Barry, and I could see the benefit of doing so. You want to see, you know, if a guy can go out and shoot another, I mean, what, the low round of the championship so far is 67. Can somebody go out and shoot 66 and get himself into the mix? I don't know. One way of, you know, kind of making this more bunched up is to make it harder, and that would be the argument I would make, and certainly one I would want to see. I want to see them, you know, tighten the screws on this baby. I mean, these greens have been fairly soft for two days. Well, you know what, cut that nonsense out. Let's get these things hard, and that way it makes fairways more important to hit. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can't still spin it if you're playing out of the fairway, but, you know, you're going to have to hit some great shots. That's what I'd like to see. But
right.
I don't know. This is the new USGA. I have no idea, Barry, what they're going to do to set this thing up today. It'll be interesting.
Right. Well, maybe if they could make the sun come out instead of the fog,
that would help.
I mean, because it's pretty hard to make the greens much harder if they've got that morning fog thing going on. Hopefully it will clear up, and at least some of the guys with the later tee times will have to contend with more difficult greens that may dry out under the beautiful California sun.
If you read the setup reports, they've been watering the greens, and I'm like, man, turn the faucet off. You know, I mean, you do have a marine layer that will help keep the greens somewhat soft. So, but they're watering. They're saying they're watering the greens for turf health. Hey, you know what? they've got till next February to deal with turf health for the next Farmers Insurance Open. Turn off the spigots and let's just, you know, kind of firm these babies up.
Boy, I didn't realize they were watering the greens. That's a great insight. I didn't realize that. Well, maybe that's why Phil Mickelson was so complimentary of the USGA and Jason Gore yesterday in his post-round interview. that could be, maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Well, like I said, it's a new USGA in terms of philosophy. We saw what Gary Woodland was, 11 under at Pebble Beach, which is ridiculous. I mean, you know, 3 over won it in 2010 and nobody complained. That was, you know, Graham McDowell. You know, we've seen some other setups that, look, I think the one that Mike Davis wishes he had back was Shinnecock in 2018. The third round really got away from him. The discrepancy in scoring from the early starters to the late ones was unbelievable. And then the next day, they overcorrected him to Tommy Fleetwood, nearly stole the thing with a 63, right. And it could have been 61. And he missed 2 10-footers coming in. Thank God Brooks Koepka shot 68 and won by a shot. So I just think they need to get a little more back to the philosophy of, okay, you know, I mean, the rough can be, you know, manageable like it is here this week at Torrey Pines, but make the greens harder. And I love the fact that they have brought back the high rough around the greens, which has really caused some havoc in recovery shots. And I love that, you know, no more of these options and chipping areas. Come on.
Right.
These guys, you know, make it penal if they miss the green.
I agree with you. I agree with you that the U.S. Open's kind of lost its identity, and Mike Davis really changed the aesthetic of the U.S. Open, and listened too much to all these guys who want to have chipping areas, and the media were kind of picked up this. Oh, this was back in the 90s. Whenever he, I'm not sure exactly when he took over, but whatever. And there was this whole call for all this change in the nature of the U.S. Open, and he did it. And the only place you can play the U.S. Open now is Pinehurst and Shinnecock and some of these old clubs. And, you know, they've got Torrey Pines, like I said, because it's out on the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I'm not a big
I mean, the Pacific fan. Ocean, duh. And it's in a good time zone. It's not a great golf course.
It's not even a very good golf course, but, you know, I mean, look, they made $50 million in 2008 at that U.S. Open because they had so many fans there. So, they chose it because they can control, you know, the nature of the golf course, which they always like to do. And, you know, they thought, hey, this is another good opportunity for a lot of fans and a lot of hospitality tents and making some dough on it. And I don't have a problem with that. That's great. Yep. But they're going to go back more to Shinnecock, Oakmont, Pinehurst. I mean, these old classics, and it's a great move. Look, you go to Oakmont tomorrow and probably, you know, have a harder golf course than you're going to have at Torrey.
Right. Well, and Dave, we definitely appreciate your time this morning. We are out of time, but we'll definitely be watching the last two rounds here, and appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Absolutely. Invite me back. This is fun.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
We will. Thank you very much to Dave Shedlosky, golf reporter, talking U.S. Open. John Icano from Zero Friction Golf. We had Lewis Sauer from LS Golf Academy in Northbrook. Nick Papadakis from Ontwencia Club in Lake Forest. Barry Cronin, thank you, my friend. A great show as always. We'll be watching see how this U.S. Open finishes.
Thanks, Mike. It'll be fun to talk about it next week.
And our thanks to Adam Studzinski for producing our show as always. And a reminder, log on to cdga.org/contest. Register to win our starter pack. Imperial hat, towel, Zero Friction Super Tube with Spectromat balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. That's cdga.org/contest. I'm Mike Esposito. Stick around here on 670 The Score. Early odds is next. Inside the clubhouse after that. You've got Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.